Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the podcast brought to you by the Players in the Game of Life. I ask your forgiveness for not being with you for a couple of weeks. There were some things that just had to be taken care of, but we plan to do better. Today, I want to talk to you about unforgiveness, something that seems to be going around quite frequently these days. I want to talk to you about unforgiveness and the consequences of unforgiveness. There is a Bible parable found in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 21st through the 35th verse. In this parable, a king forgives an enormously large debt, basically one that could never be repaid, of one of his servants. Later, however, that very same servant refused to forgive the small debt of another man. The king hears about this and rescinds his prior forgiveness. Jesus concludes by saying, "This is how our Heavenly Father, His Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, will treat each of us unless we forgive our brother or sister from our heart." There are other passages that tell us that we will be forgiven as we forgive. But I don't want you to get it confused. God's forgiveness is not based on our works. Forgiveness and salvation are founded completely in the person of God and by Jesus' redeeming work on the cross. However, our actions demonstrate our faith and the extent to which we understand God's grace. We are completely unworthy. We don't deserve any of it. Yet Jesus chose to pay the price for our sins and to give us forgiveness. When we truly grasp the greatness of God's gift to us, we will pass the gift along. We have been given grace and should give grace to others in return. In the parable, we are appalled at the servant who would not forgive a minor debt after having been forgiven his unpayable debt. Yet, when we are unforgiving, we act just as that servant in the parable. Now, unforgiveness also robs us of the full life God intends for us. Rather than promote justice, our unforgiveness festers into bitterness. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 14th and 15th verse warns, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root rises up to cause trouble and defile many." Similarly, 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 5th through the 11th verse warns that unforgiveness can be the opening for Satan to derail us. My brothers and sisters, what this says in short is, if we keep a mind of unforgiveness, one where we want to keep bringing up things over and over and we want to take revenge, God has to turn his back on that. You know, because the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let him take care of things that need to be taken care of. We don't need to hold people accountable for the things, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not saying hold people accountable, because we should. But we're not to sit up and browbeat people over the head, even with the word of God, and telling them that or wanting to take some kind of revenge out on them yourself. That's not right. We also know that those who have sinned against us, whom we may not want to forgive, are held accountable by God. It is important to recognize that to forgive is not to downplay a wrongdoing or necessarily to reconcile. Just because you forgive somebody does not necessarily mean that you have to put them back in the position that they were in once before. No, it's hard to regain trust. And truly, God would rather that we reconcile. But to give somebody that trust again, that takes time. That's a process. And sometimes that other individual who you're forgiving won't take that time. They want it to be, well, you know, we live in this microwave age anyway, and we want everything right now, and we want to do things just as fast as we absolutely can. But that's not going to happen. God does not want us to downplay what has gone on. When we choose to forgive, we release a person from his indebtedness to us, whatever it is. We relinquish the right to seek personal revenge. We choose to say we will not hold his wrongdoing against him. However, we do not necessarily allow that person back into our trust or even fully release that person from the consequences of his sin. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the consequences of sin is death. Now don't get it twisted. Think that because somebody done you wrong that you're supposed to go out and kill them. That's not what the Bible is saying, but I know a lot of people have the tendency want to think like that, but that's not right. What it says, what it means is that, you know, the consequences of sin is death. That's God's doing, and that's not saying he's going to kill. That's just saying he will separate himself, just like he will separate himself from us if we carry on and do these things that we're not supposed to do. God is not going to watch you sit up there and bless you and give you grace and forgive you for all that you've done if you won't forgive the person that has done you wrong. I'm not saying, now don't get it twisted, I'm not saying that you'll lose your salvation, but you got some consequences to deal with behind the actions that you do. While God's forgiveness relieves us from eternal death, it does not always release us from death-like consequences. Oh, yes. Just because a person goes out and robs somebody and, you know, the judge says, well, we're going to forgive you, that doesn't mean that you don't have time to serve. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be some sort of restitution that you yourself or the person who committed the crime has to pay for. No, you are not looking even for someone that does you wrong. You know, we let God handle that. We don't try to sit up and take charge or want to take the law into our own hands. Even the law has some consequences for you taking the law into your own hands. Time and time again, Scripture calls us to forgive one another. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the 32nd verse, for example, says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God, forgave you. We have been given much in the way of forgiveness. Amen. And much is expected from us in response. Though forgiveness is often difficult, to the unforgiving, it is to disobey God and to depreciate the greatness of his gift. God forgave us of so much, my brothers and sisters, and all he asks us in return is to show the same type of love to somebody else that he showed to us. You know, when we do that, what we honestly be doing is showing people the love of Christ in us. Truly, I hear conversations all the time about, I can't forgive a person for doing this, and I can't forgive a person for doing that. Well, how do you feel that God would feel towards a believer now, towards somebody who professes to be a Christian, professes to know God, professes to be in Christ Jesus? Oh, yes, we have church people who are in church that are some of the meanest people that you would ever want to meet, and they will not forgive. I mean, they'll carry a grudge to the ground. They'll carry it to their grave, some of them. But when they do, their life is just as miserable as it can be. Sometimes you wonder why their life is so miserable. And this happens. You know somebody that's in church, and it seems like they just never forgive because they keep bringing up things that happened in the past. They keep taking that they don't even take a sharp pen to burst your balloon. They take a butter knife, and they plunge and stick and stab at the balloon till it busts. That hurts. That has to really hurt. And the person that is being forgiven, or that you say you are being forgiven, they don't think you forgive them. And then they look at you. What example are we giving for a person that's supposed to be a Christian? I'm not saying that we have to be a doormat, something's for somebody to just wipe their feet on after they've done you wrong. I'm not saying that. But to forgive them gives you such a blessing. God really knows, and he appreciates the fact that he knows that you hurt. He knows that these people have hurt you. Your brother, your sister, your cousin, your spouse, some employee, your boss, may have got on your very last nerves. And sometimes if you tell the truth, they really may deserve a couple of words that aren't in the Bible. They may really deserve, you know, you wanting to, I mean, fighting it as hard as you can, want to just to just hit them one time. Sometimes we want to just say, Lord, please forgive me again. Can I put my religion aside or my relationship with you aside for a minute? No, you can't. No, you can't. And it's hard. I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do, and I'm not saying that I do it all the time. Sometimes it takes time for me to honestly forgive somebody. I have to play it in my head over sometimes and just say, what would Jesus do? Or what has God done for me in the redemption of my sin? All the things that I have done that he has forgiven me for. Does that mean that I didn't have to pay the consequences for it? No. I don't know if I have any young people out there listening, but there are some. There was a sitcom that used to come on television. It was a detective story. It was called Beretta. And Beretta had a song that said something like, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. You know, if we were to think about things sometimes before we do it, we find ourselves getting in so much trouble by sitting up going and retaliating in a way that God isn't pleased with. And especially those of us who say that we are Christians. Again, I'm not saying we have to be a doormat for somebody just to walk over and walk on and shake their feet off or shake the dust off their feet on and go on and I'm not saying that we have to take stuff off of people. Sometimes, you know, if you see two people out arguing and one of them professes to be a Christian and they both out there cussing and swearing at each other and talking about what they're going to do, how can you tell which one is a Christian? You can't. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, the love of Christ, the love that we have in us and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life should call us to think about some things and not react to certain things, but respond. And when I say respond to it, I don't mean jump up and beat them up or cuss them out. I'm talking about think about what you're about to do. Is what you're going to do, is it going to help you? Is it going to help you edify Christ? Is it going to help you bring glory to God because of the way that you're acting, or is it going to bring Satan the glory? See, now we can sit up there and lie if you want to, you know, but there are times that some of us, even I know I've done it, and if you tell the truth, you've done it too. You've been so mad at some people that you really do want to say something to them, if not do something to them. But we cannot do that. It takes a lot of strength to do that. My uncle is not with us anymore, but he told me a long time ago, it takes a heck of a man to sit up there and apologize and to forgive somebody for something that they know that they've done and you know they've done to hurt you, and you choose not to take no revenge over it. God blesses you, my brother, my sister, when you do things like that. In fact, the Bible says you heap hot coals upon a person's head when you do that. Now, I know that sounds good to somebody who say, well, good, that's what I want to do anyway. No, I'm just saying it's worse, because what you do, your kindness leaves a mark in them to say, why would they treat me as so good after I just treated them bad? You know, eventually they just might come back and say, you know what, please forgive me for how I acted. And if they don't do it or don't come into you and say it, they just might act it out, and you'll see that there's penitence in their heart. I mean, there's a way that they want to be forgiven. They want to apologize. Sometimes they may not know how. You know what it is? Sometimes it's the same thing that stops us from doing it. It's the pride that we have. That pride stops us from doing a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that we really shouldn't be doing. But one of the things that we should be doing is forgiving those people, even those people who may be wanting to get in the White House and acting a plumb idiot of themselves and doing certain things. We should look at the things that are going on and watch how people look and how people act and see what they are really about. You know, there's a power of discernment that God has given each of his children. And you know what? Some of us have it, and some people have a gift of discernment, and they're not even saved, but they can look at you and tell what's going on in your life. You know, in the vernacular of the streets, they say game recognize game. So you know when somebody's trying to pull something over on you. And if you let it keep on going, that's not on them, that's on you. Remove yourself from that situation so you don't have to react in the way that's not pleasing to God. Your response would be to move yourself from that position or that circumstance, and therefore giving God the glory and honoring God in the way that we conduct and carry ourselves in this wicked world that we're in. You know, I do mind who is going to be our next president, I'm not going to lie. But I know this too. They can be no more than Satan is. No human being on earth can be worse than Satan. Satan lies, people lie. Satan been lying a long time and doing his dirt. But God is in control. And some of us are living better than we've ever lived before in our life since we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. I'm not trying to get you to think like me. I'm not even trying to get you to do what I do. All I want to do, my brothers and sisters, is get you to think. And how you act, especially in front of other people, depends on how you're going to affect somebody else's life. Because when you do good and you act in a certain way, I'm not saying you do good to get to heaven. I'm just saying when you have Christ in your life, you'll do good things. And it'll show. And he will reward you. That's not saying that, you know, just because you lose it a couple of times that you're going straight to hell. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. But wouldn't you rather live here on this earth as peacefully as you can with the rewards of Jesus Christ and the blessings of God always on you? When you find yourself in a situation or something that you can't handle on your own, that he's right there for you to help you and to guide you through some things. Has he already brought you through some things that you didn't know that you could handle? Well, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. If you act the way and do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God, I guarantee it that God will do some things to show you that how he is for real. That he is a loving and cherishing God. He's a graceful and merciful God. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, that God can do anything but fail. When I tell you can't nobody do it like Jesus, can't nobody do it like the Lord, I'm telling you from personal experience. I have forgiven. I have been forgiven. I've done some things in my life that I'm so grateful that God interceded and allowed his son to take the price and pay the price, that unbearable, that astronomical price that I couldn't pay myself. Have you had some sins like that in your life that you couldn't pay for yourself? Isn't it good to know that somebody paid those debts for you? If you were in your house and you had a mortgage and it was 3 months or 4 or 5 months behind and somebody came up and paid that debt for you, wouldn't you be grateful for it? Wouldn't you be thankful? So now when somebody comes up to you and they owe you $5 or $10, do you still want to jump on them and beat them up? Or they say something to you that's kind of like hurt your feelings? Would you forgive them? You should, and just go on about your business. You don't have to put yourself in that position to where they can do it again, but you know how to act next time. So until next time, my brothers and sisters, stay tuned. There's more coming. This is the first time I've been by myself in a while. I didn't know I could still talk this long. God bless you, and I'll talk to you later. Have a pleasant evening, and see you or hear from me. You'll hear from me next week, and possibly I'll have my friends back with me. God bless.